Let's head to the hotline and bring in the very first guest of today's show. He joins us every single Friday, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, how are you?
Doing well, Andy. How about you, man?
So far, so good, partner. Not as well as Scott Barry, though, the guy who laid $400 on the St. Louis Blues to win the Stanley Cup back in January, and he ended up winning a cool $100,000 as a result. Now, we kind of had a similar conversation. After Tiger Woods won the Masters, the money amounts are totally different here. The gentleman we discussed at the time, I believe he came away with $25,000. This guy comes away with six figures. Is this dumb luck, or how do you assess this?
You know what, man? I don't want to call it dumb luck because, you know, $400, I don't know what he usually bets. It seems like a fairly substantial investment on a team that was tied for dead last in the NHL at the time. But he must have seen something. And this is a St. Louis Blues team that really throughout most of the year, even before the coaching change, had kind of played better than the record would indicate. From an advanced metrics standpoint, they were a little bit better of a team. They just probably run into some bad luck. And, you know, look, the new coach worked out. The new starting goaltender, Jordan Binnington, worked out. Hey, they had to win, you know what, in double overtime in Game 7 against Dallas in the second round to get to the conference finals, then win, you know, games on the road in the Stanley Cup finals. So, you know, hey, you got to get lucky. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, as they say. And kudos to him for that. And, you know, hey, a very nice score, to say the least.
Well, and he also talked a buddy of his into going, I think, half of that. I think he had his buddy spent $200, so he ended up walking away with $50,000 here as well. So you're right. He must have seen something, because at the time, we've all been a part of that conversation before. You know, he was leaving a business trip. He said, eh, what the heck? I'm going to throw $400 down on a last-place team. But he must have been awfully confident, because he did enough to talk his buddy into laying $200 down, and he walked away with $50,000 as well. Have we ever seen anything remotely close to this in the handicapping business? A last-place team with incredible odds, you know, not to win in January. And here we are, what, 5 months later, and this guy's walking away with six figures?
I mean, I will say this. I've been to Vegas a lot. And sometimes all that booze and all that sunshine and eat a little bit of a bender, and you know, you do kind of throw some money around on that last day. So maybe that was the case. But as far as seeing anything like this before, no, not really that I can think of, at least not in, you know, the six major sports, the four major pro sports, and then college football and college basketball. You know, we really haven't seen this. I mean, I guess you could point to Cinderellas in college basketball, but you know, those are still teams that were very good in their respective conferences that make a little bit of a run, like a Loyola Chicago, you know, last year in the tournament. They still won the Missouri Valley. They still played very well in conference play. They weren't, you know, last place team that all of a sudden showed up when it really counted. So, you know, in terms of North American sports, I can't really think of anything that compares to this, no.
One last thing on Scott Barry. How amazed are you that he never hedged on this? Because apparently he had been given all kinds of advice. People tried to talk him into it. He never did it. How amazed are you that he never did it?
I don't know if amazed is the word. I mean, I would have hedged this thing multiple times over. You're talking about $100,000, so you've got a very, very good hedging margin in there. There is a business out in Las Vegas called PropSwap that does allow you to post these futures tickets online, and then people essentially bid on them. You know, I mean, you can list the price, but then people can also counter bid and stuff like that. So he had opportunities to put it up on there. Obviously, he had chances to, you know, hedge privately and personally. I don't know if I believe that he didn't hedge. I mean, you're talking about not life-changing money per se, but you're talking about a pretty good supplement to what you already make. So I'd like to think he probably did hedge it, and if he truly didn't, the guy's got some onions, man, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there's no disputing that. It's just crazy because that's a last-place team in January. You were telling me the other day, I mean, it was, what, 250-1 odds is what they were going off at the time, and you wonder what was going through his mind. You know, it goes far beyond just laying some money on your favorite team. I mean, when I was in Vegas back in March, I mean, I think I put just a few bucks down on the Indians, but at the time it was like, you know, whatever, it's my favorite team. But I was going at that with a bit more confidence. You know, when your team's in last place and at that point, right around the halfway point of the season, God, you just wonder if he just threw $400 at it and said, you know what, the heck? I got $400 left on this business trip. We'll see what comes of this. But that's just a wild, wild story.
All right. It is. And one of the things, too, I mean, look, you know, them winning the Stanley Cup is the jackpot. You know, what you really want to do in terms of futures wagers, betting teams to win the championship, is get them into the playoffs. Hopefully they win a round or two for you. Then you do start to hedge. You guarantee yourself some profit. So he probably went into it with that mindset, thinking, okay, if I can get this team into the playoffs, then all of a sudden I've got a live ticket. I can start hedging against it, start guaranteeing some profit. But then in the first round, the Blues go up 2-0 against Winnipeg, win both games on the road. And then at that point, maybe he's like, well, you know what? I guess I probably will just let this ride. And then, you know, letting it ride, even when they were down, you know, 3-2 to Dallas in the second round, that's kind of a crazy thing to me. At that point, I'm looking to cash something out of it. But with any futures bet you make, you hope that they get into a position for you to hedge against it, guarantee yourself some profit. So it probably did start with that in mind, but them actually winning it all, I mean, that's hitting the jackpot for sure.
Absolutely. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. The NBA season is over and done with. The Warriors fell to the Toronto Raptors in Game 6 last night, so we have new NBA champs. I was a little surprised looking at last night's game. Without Kevin Durant, I would have thought that things were certainly going to change drastically. Given all of the Warriors' ailments throughout the series, they were still 2.5-point favorites going into last night's game. And I don't know, that shocked me at least a little bit. I mean, I get it. It's an elimination game. You know, they were playing at home, although as it turned out in this NBA Finals, playing at home didn't mean anything at all. Did that line surprise you at all?
Well, and playing at home didn't mean much in the Stanley Cup Finals either. So maybe, you know, as a society, as fan bases, we overrate what home court, home ice, home field advantage actually means. Because the thing about it is actually that line opened Golden State minus 3.5, got bet up to 4, and then started to come down with the Toronto money. And it did surprise me maybe a little bit to a degree. But also, you know, you kind of think about it. Golden State, you know, wins and survives in Game 5 on the road. They're going back home. Last game at Oracle Arena. Probably worth 5.5 points to the line, maybe 6 points, something like that. So Toronto still would have been favored on a neutral floor. Still would have been a comfortable favorite at home. But with the venue shifted out to Golden State, that long trip back west for Toronto across 3 time zones, you can kind of see why Golden State would be favored, and to the degree that they were, just largely based on home court advantage. But of course, as it turns out, you know, Toronto winds up winning, and you know, the Klay Thompson injury certainly did help them. But I think the line was probably pretty fair when you consider the magnification of home court advantage in a situation like that last game at Oracle, and the long travel spot for Toronto to, you know, have to go back, and you don't want to play a game 7. You know, you don't want to have your back up against the wall. You really don't worry about a series until you're in a position to get eliminated. So for Toronto, you know, they didn't want game 7. Maybe everyone thought they'd play a little bit tight, and maybe to some degree they kind of did at times. But the home court advantage was really dictating that line, and if it was played on a neutral, Toronto would have been favored.
And this is something we could say for next week, but I saw that, boy, the Lakers are already opening up as overwhelming favorites for next year, but we'll dive into that next week. All right.
And the funny thing, too, speaking of Los Angeles, the Clippers are way up there at 6-1. They're tied for the second favorite at Caesars Sportsbook out in Vegas, the implication being that the Clippers are probably going to be the team that lands Kawhi Leonard. So you know, there's a lot of they try to plan ahead in terms of NBA free agency and try to get out ahead of the signings and the trades and all that. So that's something people can take a look at also, is that the NBA market from a betting standpoint is going to predict a little bit about where some of these, you know, big free agents are going to land. So if you're an NBA offseason junkie, look to the markets and see if they kind of shed some light on where guys may go.
Yeah, for right now, it at least indicates that LeBron's going to be joined by somebody out in L.A., but that'll be fun to follow for sure. All right, you took a look at some new head football coaches in all the Power 5 conferences. I was intrigued by that article simply because I don't think I realized just how many coaches changed at the Division I level in the Power 5 conferences, just tons and tons of coaching changes. And I wanted to rehash your analysis on a guy that certainly has a ton of local ties to this area, and Les Miles, who's now at Kansas. How do you think he'll make them a little more fun to follow?
Yeah, I think there's 27 new head coaches in college football this year. I believe 10 of them in the Power 5 conferences. And Les Miles is one of the more intriguing ones because Les Miles goes to a Kansas program that really hasn't been relevant in a decade since Todd Reesing and Mark Mangino were there in Lawrence. And still look. I mean, the guy's 65 years old. And what's going to be really intriguing to me is LSU recruits at an elite level year in and year out. It just is what it is. It's a football hotbed down there in the Southeast, as we all know. Kansas doesn't. I mean, Kansas does not pull a whole lot of top-end recruits. They don't really get a whole lot of great transfers either. So you have to wonder how Les Miles is going to do with a complete lack of talent relative to what he's used to. You know, it, late in his tenure at LSU, he was just trying to hang on to the job, got very vanilla, got very predictable. I don't know if at 65 years old he can change his spots here and be a little bit more aggressive, take some chances. I mean, look, there are no expectations here. This is a basketball school through and through. So I think it's going to be kind of fun to watch, for one thing, in hopes that Kansas can be relevant, maybe knock somebody off in the Big 12, one of the regular season games this year, but just simply because it's good to see Les Miles back out there. He's kind of a character. He's sort of a quote machine, and he's at a place where nobody really cares that much. So I'm kind of curious to see what he does with this program and also how long he's there, because at 65, this isn't a long-term play. This is the university hoping he can build some kind of recruiting base up for whoever gets the job in 4 or 5 years.
Boy, hard to believe, but we're not that far removed from the start of that college football season, just over 2 months away from the kids reporting to camp and then 2.5 months away from the start of the season. All right, Adam, before we let you go here, you took a hard pass on a lot of the Major League Baseball action tonight, but you do like the under in this Cubs-Dodgers series out on the West Coast tonight. Why do you like that game above all others?
Yeah, when you look at the Cubs and the Dodgers here, those are two teams that draw a lot of walks. I mean, obviously they've got phenomenal lineups top to bottom, good power, good on-base percentage skills. But these are two guys that don't walk a lot of people. The Cubs, number one in walk percentage, the Dodgers, number two. And you've got Kyle Hendricks tonight for the Cubs. And Kyle Hendricks, kind of a throwback, man. He sits in the mid-80s. He just puts the ball wherever he wants to, kind of Greg Maddox-ian, if you will. Then you've got Rich Hill, big sweeping curveball, tough guy to go up against. And both of these lineups feast on right-handed pitching. They struggle a little bit with lefties in a relative sense. The Cubs about 10th in weighted on-base average against lefties. The Dodgers, I think, are 13th or something. But those two teams overall up near the top of the league. So when those teams wind up facing a lefty, it tempers their offenses a little bit. And then also without the free base runners tonight, they're going to have to manufacture runs the hard way. And I'm just not sure that's going to happen out there in Chavez Ravine, a pretty decent pitcher's park. So do like the under out west tonight between the Cubs and the Dodgers.
Excellent stuff as always, Adam. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and you have a wonderful weekend. We'll do this again next week.
Absolutely, man. Take care.